Next item on the agenda is item number 7, Rogue Oysters, Oyster Planting Ground, application 2018-157. Who's up?
Ben Stagg, I'll be handling this one.
Mr. Stagg, do you solemnly swear the testimony you'll give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Proceed, please.
Thank you. So this is an oyster planting ground application that was submitted by Rogue Oyster Companies, LLC, application number 2018-157. In that request, they are asking to lease initially approximately 2.2 acres in Greenvale Creek, which is located in Lancaster County. The application is protested by a nearby property owner. Next slide. So the location is Greenvale Creek, which is in the center of the screen. Next slide. The circle depicts the application area. Next slide, in a closer view with aerial photography. Again, next slide. The arrow indicates the application area. As you can see, the mouth of Greenvale Creek is to the south. This is the Rappahannock River, and it's in Lancaster County. There is one other lease currently in Greenvale Creek. We did subject the application to our normal public interest review. We did notify adjacent property owner, and we did receive a protest from Mr. Ron Edwards. I'll cover that a little later. On the application, the applicant did indicate on the use plan questionnaire that the proposed use would be a traditional on-bottom planting and harvesting, and also proposed to put cages on the bottom no greater than 12 inches above the substrate, which would be allowed by regulation. This area does not contain any submerged aquatic vegetation and therefore would be leasable. It is our understanding that Rogue Orchards actually owns property in the creek near this application. Next slide. So even closer view here, now the application is shown in red, and there is a lease to the north. Mr. Edwards, in the marina to the south at the mouth of the creek, where you can see the channel coming into the creek. We did receive an objection from Mr. Edwards, and he stated as part of his objection his belief that he had a King's grant for a portion of this creek. He did not include any documentation, which is an official protest. He did request official information. We sent him the checklist of items required by the Office of Attorney General to review a King's grant claim. And as of the date of the day, we didn't receive any of those items from the list. We did receive some additional information from Mr. yesterday, and I have included some of that in the presentation and will address it as we move forward. Next slide. So this slide shows the BDH condemnation area for this creek. The area that is stippled near the mouth is conditionally open. That means it's open certain times of the year and closed at other times. And the area to the north and the strike line is condemned and will therefore require relaying at any time during the year, and our current policy is to not accept for grant application leases within those types of areas. So that explains kind of why you see where the application was stopped. The applicant was aware of that when they applied, and they stayed south of that line. Next slide. Mr. Edwards also indicated that he has had previous leases in the creek, and his predecessor, that I think he purchased some of the leases in the marina from, Mr. Conrad, also had a number of leases in the creek, particularly on this side, the western side of the creek. And he also indicated, again, that he believed that he had a King's grant. He indicated that he had given up these leases over time because he was told that they would not be renewed. I don't believe that correctly characterized what we may have told him. The actual reason the leases went back was non-payment of rent. back in 2012 and 2013. Next slide. This is just a note of his objection that we originally received in February 2019. We've had additional correspondence with Mr. Edwards since then. Next slide. So this is one of the leases that Mr. Edwards had. The other ones, you see the name Conrad. This is one that Mr. Edwards actually got on his own and is the one that was reverted for non-payment of rent in 2012. The other leases you see on this plat that are adjacent also have reverted due to lack of payment of rent, by actual termination of the leaseholder. They requested to be terminated. That happened in 2013. Next slide. This is an older plat, and the reason I put this in the next plat in was to show that in spite of a claim of potential King's Grant, that we've been leasing in this creek since actually the 1970s at least. That's as far back as I looked. We may have leases even older than that. But there, all these leases were active when this plat was made in 1985. And this is generally the same area partially that the applicant has asked for. Next slide. This is another plat from 1987. This one's oriented north, is to the right instead of straight up the page, but you're basically seeing similar set of leases there that did exist for a number of years, for quite a few decades into the past. Next slide. So here's a conundrum about the King's Grant. This is the Lancaster County land map, and it's a little confusing when you look at it because it shows Greenvale Creek to the north, that's the light-colored area, Rappahannock to the south and west, which is the light-colored area, and then land as if there is no creek between the upper part of Greenvale Creek and the mouth. Now, this, of course, is just a graphic sort of general representation of the land parcels, and the black box indicates approximately where the lease application is located. Next slide. Mr. Edwards did provide a copy of that map as well as this map. So this is the older version of the land map from years back before they had GPS and GIS. And this is very similar to the one you just saw. It shows on the western side of the creek parcels that are clearly out into the water, some of which are partially on land, one of which, the triangular one, which appears to be completely in the water. This evidence attests that he is paying taxes on the parcels he owns for the full amount that's probably recorded, and that is possible. We have seen this in other places, but to claim a King's Grant here, we have to see the documentation that clearly showed it was a King's Grant of not only the land, but the subaqueous land as well, which is fairly rare, but has on occasions happened.
Mr. Stagg,
yes.
Is it not true that we do not have any documentation whatsoever that asserts or properly asserts that he has a King's Grant or there is a King's Grant located on this lease?
We do not have any such documentation.
Thank you. Proceed.
Next slide. So this is the actual area that we surveyed based on the application. It's a little under the 2.2 acres. We did stay away from the channel because this is a marked channel going into Greenvale Creek. And I believe we buffered off the channel plenty far. I believe Mr. Edwards and potentially another neighbor may speak to the shallow nature of the inshore part of this. They did send me a picture at low tide that showed some areas above being low water. That looked to me like it might have been an unusually low tide. But in any event, our commission surveyor surveyed this. We believe that it is channel with a mean low water and is leasable. The entire area is south of the polluted line where it's restricted all year long, and therefore the ground would be suitable for leasing. So in summary and recommendations, while Mr. Edwards has made a claim of a King's Grant, we do not have any specific information of such a grant. Also, other than the grant claim, he provided no other specific objections to the proposed lease other than the fact that he had leases there in the past. Staff believes this Arid Creek is state-owned subject with bottom lands, and the area of the application is currently classified as conditionally approved by the Virginia Department of Health and Shellfish Safety Division. Therefore, after reviewing the protesters' objections and considering all the factors, 28.2607 and 28.2205A of the Code of Virginia, we recommend leasing of this 2.0-acre area, the bottom, to Rogue Oysters in Greenvale Creek, as depicted on the survey dated October 23rd, 2019. Be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions by members of the commission for Mr. Stagg? Thank you. Is the applicant present or represented? Here it is. Stand by one.
You can have it. What is
okay.
The name?
Yep, I got it.
What's their name?
Taryn. Is Taryn Bryce rolling on?
I don't see him.
James rolling on?
Yes, Roland Edwards. Is that?
No, that would be the protest. Okay. That would be the James Roland present from Rogue Oyster.
Oh, I see him now. Okay.
Got him?
Yep, he's unmuted.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
This is James Roland of Rogue Oysters.
Okay, sir, do you solemnly swear the testimony that you give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to speak in reference to your application?
Yes, thank you.
Yes.
So we have been operating an aquaculture operation for a few years now. We operate out of Greenville Marina, which is just north of the applied for area. We do have area outside of the creek in the main branch of the Rappahannock. The point of the creek application is that the creek is fairly well protected from weather. We can't get out every day into the river, and it has interrupted some harvest activity. Since this will be just a, at least as things stand, more or less open in the winter, the idea is to bring in some harvest-sized oysters, store them in this area, and in the event of poor weather, we would still have fairly easy access to those oysters, and it would make operations run a little more smoothly. Summertime access to this, of course, it would be condemned for harvest. There is a potential for possibly use for placing some stuff out of our nursery that is within seed size on the way out, also to avoid basically storm activity. Our summer use would be extremely limited as of right now. Mr. Conrad, that was mentioned, does have shoreline peeler traps he uses in the summer, and this is a shallow area, so placement of that while he's working the area wouldn't really be appropriate. Most of the area that we would use would be the more near shore area, that is the deeper area. The channelward area is extremely shallow during particularly the winter at extreme low tides. Some of that is visible. We would obviously not use that to have the oysters exposed to the air during winter. So generally, we think the near shore area would be the place we would be placing stuff over the winter when we bring it in. And with that, I'm here for any questions.
Any questions by members of the commission for Mr. Roland? Thank you. Mr. Roland, is your wife present that wishes to speak as well, or are you handling it?
She could be made available, but I'm handling it unless you specifically need her for anything.
No, sir. She was on the list. We just want to make sure that everyone that wishes to speak has an opportunity to speak. That's the only
reason. I do appreciate it.
Yes, sir. All right. Anyone else in support of this project? Anyone in opposition? Mr. Edwards, you present?
He's good. He's unmuted.
Mr. Edwards?
Yep. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Do you solemnly swear the testimonies you'll give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Proceed, please.
To start with, I'd like to clear up a few things that that was said previously, that my main contention was King's Grant. Obviously, that hasn't been researched enough to have that legal opinion yet. However, I'm sitting on a legal survey, and it's dated 1962, 71, 87, 93, and it encompasses, it's on legal deed book 128, page 237, as a legal survey for this piece of property. And it shows from parcel 22 that the owner of that property, parcel 22, which would be me, it shows ownership past lien low water mark out to the channel and all the way up to parcel 25.
Are you asserting then that the argument of a King's Grant in this area?
No, I'm asserting.
I don't understand. I don't understand.
A legal survey, sir.
Yeah, but I don't.
And I'm also.
Okay. Are you asserting that you own the property that the Commonwealth of Virginia is attempting to lease?
According to this legal survey that's recorded at the courthouse in Lancaster County, recognizes my ownership because I've been paying taxes on it on the bottom since the day I bought it.
Well, sir, that's something that you should submit pursuant to the checklist that was provided to you so that our Attorney General's representative could review it and accordingly advise the commission as it relates to jurisdiction in this matter. Without having that at our avail, we have nothing to go on other than the map.
Excuse me.
Sir, I'm chairing this meeting. You're not. Please wait until I complete. Until I finish. Unless we have that at our avail to make a fair review of the matter, we have to deal with what we have at our avail, and that's what Mr. Stagg has provided, and that's what's before the commission today. Now, sir, you may proceed.
Well, I hope I can clear this up because, but we did provide it. Ms. Tina Phillips sent all this information to Mr. Stagg's.
And he presented it today.
And to present today at your avail.
And it was on his show.
Ma'am, sir, there's an echo in the back. If that other person's going to testify, I need to know who it is, and I need to swear her in. Otherwise, it's very disruptive to the meeting.
All right, you want to swear her in then?
If she was to speak. Yes, ma'am. Could you state your name, please?
Tina Phillips.
Ms. Phillips, do you solemnly swear the testimonies you'll give today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes, I do.
Please proceed and tell us what you've got to say.
Well, the question was the survey that would be available, and it is the one that Mr. Stagg presented in his presentation.
Okay.
That is the survey Mr. Edwards is referring to.
Okay, we understand that now, but at the same time, it does not clarify the King's Grant or the ownership issue based on what we have.
Well, that's what he was saying, the ownership issue, because that's what's deeded to him. And since that is very extremely shallow ground that the applicant identified as well.
Okay.
Survey.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Commissioner Steve Bowman.
Mr. Bowman.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Okay. One other. I want to just finish that one issue by saying I've been paying tax on this bottom land, and that ought to give me some kind of privilege or advantage. Otherwise, why would the county be charging me money for something I can't use? And another thing, once upon a time, there used to be a channel that hugged this shore. If Rogue's Oysters covers this channel up, it's no way in the world I could get a boat up to that shoreline to do whatever work on my land that I needed to do. Suppose we needed to put a pier or a dock or a bulkhead out there. I would not be able to get a barge or anything else up in there if he's got it blocked with his oyster cages. I realize what he's trying to do, but I've also got some needs myself. And since I own the property, I ought to be able to use it. And this is going to block any kind of use for those kind of issues, or even down the road, even recreational.
Okay.
Or down the road, if I wanted with a joint permit application, if I wanted to dredge this area to put in other things, how would I be able to do that?
Ms. Block, could you respond to that for me, please? This would be the Attorney General's representative, Ms. Block.
So in terms of the logistics of barges and dredging, I mean, I'm going to set that aside for a minute. The issue of the deed and the taxes, generally, deeds that show ownership or encompass below Milo Water are presumed to not convey ownership below Milo Water. Now, I have not looked at this particular deed. I have not reviewed it, so I can't say for certain that this one does not. But typically, the only way that you can get ownership of submerged bottom land against the Commonwealth is by a king's grant or a queen's grant that can be traced in an unbroken chain of title back to the king or the queen. So I don't, without having reviewed the title chain or this particular survey, the mere fact that a survey exists or that the county is requiring you to pay taxes does not necessarily show ownership of that area.
And Ms. Block, is it not true that we have seen surveys before that actually extended below the low water mark, which for whatever reason the surveyor decided to do that, at times it would falsely demonstrate ownership below the low water mark when in fact the Commonwealth of Virginia is a low water mark state? Is that correct?
Yes. And I mean, there's a lot of very complicated ancient legal things that happened after the Revolutionary War to transfer ownership and all of that. But we have seen that before, that surveyors, for whatever reason, survey out below mean low water, and we've seen counties assess taxes below mean low water without that indicating ownership. Now, that could be something to take to the county about why you're paying taxes on that, and that could be something to look at in terms of, does this indicate a chain of title that would grant ownership? But the mere fact that there's a survey is not end all be all that there's ownership over submerged bottom.
And one further question to you. If Mr. Edwards were able to provide title that indicated that there is a King's Grant in this location, would it not be the responsibility of the Commonwealth of Virginia to basically rescind any lease over that bottom land, and Mr. Edwards would have sole use of that bottom at that point of proof. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Edwards or Ms. Phillips, did you have any further?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Well, it's been stated before that I let this lease go for non-payment. At the time, I was getting 2011, 2012 approximately. I had to have both of my knees replaced. So the restaurant had been closed. I closed the restaurant down when Army Corps of Engineers came in and dredged the channel. And 50% of our business in the summer was boat traffic. And I expressed concern while they were doing this, and they promptly told me, we're engineers, we know what we're doing. I said, you're putting this up on shore, the dredge material, unencapsulated. I said, it's not going to stay there very long, probably end up in the same ditch it came from. And it turned out that was true. Within the dredge supervisor that was doing the dredging, company out of Delaware, said, I wouldn't give this project a year before all this money, what a waste of money. All this sand is going to end up in the same ditch where it came from. Well, he was right. In fact, he was over right. It filled up to my level of my docks where these boats came in and tied up. And in some places, over top of it. I can show you pictures right now. And can you see my face?
No, sir. We don't have that capability.
Well, it's too bad because I can show you pictures of exactly what I'm saying.
Okay.
Anyway, I know I'm getting off the point a little bit, but while I was either having this surgery done or convalescing, I did so up at where I grew up at, 303 Deacon Road, Fredericksburg, Virginia. It's actually in Stafford County, but Fredericksburg address. Meantime, the mail was coming to the restaurant, and I didn't get good service. I didn't get a copy of those bills, and I don't know if I could have paid them or not. I was basically out of money by this time when it was happening.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, by the time that I got around to trying to renew my leases, the gentleman at BMRC said, Mr. Edwards, we're not renewing those leases because the whole creek has been condemned bacterially. I think they sent a boat up there twice a month to take water samples. Well, I got my address changed so you guys had a place to better service to send me notices on. The next notice I got from you guys was a notice that Rogue Oysters had applied, and unless any protest was going on, that you were going to approve his interest in leasing this property, this bottom land that fronted my property above the mean low water mark. So I immediately called up and I said, I never got any notice that you were trying that anyone, including me, could lease this property. And I said, I should have first right of refusal since number one, I'm the landowner. I pay taxes on it, number two. And number three, I was never notified that it was up for lease again, that you had removed that condemnation or that where the water was condemned. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
To even apply for it. It was a done deal before I knew about it.
Well, sir, it's
I don't blame Rogue Oysters. If I was them, I would have done the same thing myself, probably.
Well,
but
sir,
I never got the opportunity.
Sir, just a matter of clarification. Number one, the Virginia Marine Resources Commission does not condemn the waters of the Commonwealth of Virginia as far as Texas shellfish is concerned. The Virginia Department of Health takes care of that. Number two, these condemnations can change based on a number of factors, whether the fecal coliform level has gone down, whether certain other things have occurred. You have seasonal condemnations around marinas due to boat traffic and things like that, but that we do not handle that. We just receive that information from the Virginia Department of Health. Okay, and as far as it, hey, wait, sir, and as far as it being a done matter, it's not a done matter until this commission votes this out or this morning. So with that, can you wrap up? Because we've been going on a good time as far as this case is concerned, please.
I'll try to speed it right along. All I'm saying is I never got proper notice that I could reapply or I could renew my former lease. And if I'd have known, I would have. We're only talking about a small amount of money, so.
Yep. Well, as far as that's concerned, all leases that become available are posted on our website. You can look at them. They're everyone in the Commonwealth of Virginia that's available is there. We'll give you the status of the lease and what's available, what's under lease, what's under protest, and things like that. So we try to do our very best to get that out there. So
unfortunately, I didn't have a computer back then.
Yes, sir. I understand. Any questions by members of the commission for Mr. Edwards? They're being done. Mr. Rowland, you've got 2 minutes to wrap up if you'd like to respond to anything that's been said.
Sir, thank you. I suppose briefly, as Mr. Edwards brought up the old channel, he is correct, at least as far as my conversations with Mr. Conrad, who uses the area. The old channel did follow the shoreline there. Which is why I applied for that area. It does have a little better depth to keep cages submerged. It is not currently used for boat traffic since the new channel runs up the creek. Also due to the nature of the area being rather shallow, boat traffic is not a thing in that area. But that is true. The old channel was there, and that is why I'm on that side. With regard to his potential use of developing that area and how the lease could impact that, I honestly don't have answers or responses to that. So other than that, I really just am here for any questions.
Any questions by members of the commission? Thank you, sir. Seeing none, the matters before the commission before discussion and action.
I move that we approve staff recommendation, Chad Ballard.
Motion made by Mr. Ballard to approve staff recommendations. Is there a second to the motion?
Second, Heather Lusk.
Seconded by Ms. Lusk. Further discussion? Mr. Tankard?
Aye.
Mr. Zedrin? Mr. Zedrin?
Aye.
Dr. Neal?
Aye.
Mr. Ballard?
Aye.
Mr. Minor?
Aye.
Ms. Lusk?
Aye.
Ms. Everett?
As a caution, Rogue Oysters is a member of the Chesapeake Oyster Alliance, so just to be safe, I'll go ahead and abstain on this one.
Okay. Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much for presentation on both sides.